It's Tuesday, the 5th of December. It's time to get your gaming grin on with the Game Grin Greencast. Here with their grins are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Erin.
Hi, I'm smiling.
Gozagoz.
I am smiling.
Spooky.
I am smiling.
The Jackman.
Hi.
And I, as always, am Ace. This is actually our last normal episode for the year of 2023, so...
No!
Yeah, well, that means our next couple of episodes are going to be, well, not normal ones.
They're going to be abnormal. We're going to be talking about movies and shows.
They're going to be mutant.
And movies. Books!
Are they going to be about anime? Japanese anime?
No, we have a different one for that one.
I've been reading this really cool book lately. Can I talk about it?
No, not in this episode. No. This is a normal podcast, remember?
Do they mention games in the book?
Yes.
Oh, then you can.
Let's start with, what have you been playing recently, Artura?
Well, in preparation for the end of the year, I decided I was going to give my most anticipated title of the year a shot, which was Immortals of Avium. Leading up to release, my wife was actually the one that found it for me, and she was like, you know what, you're going to love this game. And I entered very hesitant, not because I don't trust her. So anyway, as I watched the trailer, I probably fell in love with the game, and I just, like, finally started looking forward to it, because over the year, I didn't really have that much to look forward to. We obviously have Hollow Knight Silksong, which is a social experiment. We had Starfield, but I don't really care for Bethesda games all that much. So as I finally got to play it, I found out that it actually lived up to the expectation I had for it-ish, because it's a common problem I'm starting to realize the more I work here in the industry is developers don't really know how to market their game at all. As a title that sells itself like a game that defies FPS conventions, their words, not mine. It had very few fighting encounters that were as big and colossal as you'd expect, and it's just more of a narrative adventure, which is fine. I loved it for it, but I'm quite shocked at how little fighting and kind of like Doom-esque retro boomer shooter thingy I was expecting. I really liked it. I just didn't like it for the reasons I thought I would.
Wait, did they say it defies conventions?
They did say that, yeah.
Well, and it doesn't have much shooting?
I mean, I expected something more akin to like Doom, where you have like different levels and a lot of enemies. But what I got is more occasional fights that are like maybe three or four skirmishes of 6 to 9 enemies, which is not too much when you have so much AoE and damage to dish out. And a lot of dialogue and cinematics. It's like a lot of it. So no, I wouldn't say there was much. In comparison to how much story there is, there's barely any.
Well, I mean, if you say it defies FPS conventions, like, you could say that about a visual novel.
That is a good point.
Well, Erin, what about you?
As for me, and also in preparation of, like, the Game of the Year podcast dealio, I was trying to go through some of the games that have been nominated, one of which was Lies of P. I'm not very far into it, but I'm having fun so far. I struggle sometimes with performing well in a Souls-like. I love the genre a bit, but I'm a bit of a scaredy cat and also am afraid of getting hurt in games and try to avoid that. And it's difficult to do that in a Souls-like, especially one that's sort of very aggressive-ish, like Lies of P is, but I have very much enjoyed it, especially with all the various ways you have to heal throughout. I really, really like how the sort of its version of the Estus Flask sort of recharges as you hit enemies. I like that. That's a cool detail, and it makes me want to use that and not save and not hold on to it as much.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest things about it. How far have you gone?
Not far at all. I literally went to the first time you could get to one of like the little, I forget what they're called, the things that are like bonfires, and stopped there. I want to go back into it again and plan on doing so tomorrow, but I was trying to sort of get through it enough to get to a stopping point, so just so that like I had like a nice baseline understanding of it, so that I could move on to other things that I've been able to get my hands on as well.
Yeah, you're really early on, like the first 30 minutes at most. You've been enjoying it.
I took about 2 hours to get through the first 30 minutes, I guess. I'm a bit slow.
You sound like me trying to speed run a game. I'm like, I got through that so quickly, and no, it took me way longer than anyone in the world.
I only died once, though.
That is what matters most.
There's probably a genre of speedrunning, which is like lowest amount of death, sort of lowest amount of damage.
Or sex. I definitely took a lot of damage. I also spent a long time trying to get to practice perfect guards, and I am not good at timing them.
I hate perfect guard in any video game. I cannot do them.
And I mean, it's basically a quick time event.
And Hi-Fi Rush, like, there's a part of one level where you have to do the perfect guard.
It is, and I think I'm starting to get the hang of it a bit more. I was just practicing with like the basic enemies that are in that first section, and I kept like thinking they were going to do the slow attack when they were doing the quick one back and forth, and I'm learning more how to recognize which one they're doing. And I think it's good that I'm letting myself practice against these relatively weaker enemies before I try to do it against the tougher ones.
That's how I got through Sekiro. When I first started playing it, I was desperate to die as few times as possible. If I passed 100, maybe just 110 or so. So what I did was that I practiced against like smaller enemies until I started learning to recognize, until I started learning to react quicker, until I started learning to like the, because I played on keyboard and mouse, because I don't know why people say it's easier on control, to be honest. I found it super hard. And since I have the tendency, it hurts. So yeah, I did that, and I eventually stopped being so scared. And honestly, finishing Sekiro is one of my favorite. Like, I would not change that. So I really hope that you get to get through the game. It really helps build confidence, and it might even help you learn that you actually super love Souls-like. I didn't think I would like them.
I mean, I do really, really like them. I've tended to like them for more of like their storytelling purposes, and I've been afraid of a lot of the fighting, but I do like the fighting, and I'm learning to like it a lot more lately. But also, have you decided you want to do a Sekiro run where you only die twice?
So, Goz, what have you been up to?
I played a bunch of stuff, like ASMR food experience, because
that was an interesting stream.
Someone asked me to play it. I don't know who.
What kind of depraved person would ask that of you?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
What kind of depraved person would ask that of you? Can you give us their username, their Twitter, Twitch username, perhaps?
Their home address?
Their home, yeah.
It was like A-lister or something.
Oh, dang, an A-lister asked you. Dang, that's... Wow. It really sucks how like the big famous people feel like they can just push down the little guy.
But no, ASMR Food Experience was a game that I think is still in early development, and there is not to talk about. But I also played Gangs of Sherwood, which came out recently, which was interesting to see, because it's a Devil May Cry Bayonetta type game with Robin Hood type story. Not Robin Hood type story. It's a Robin Hood story with twists and stuff.
Played through all on the Game Green Twitch channel, didn't you?
Yeah, it took like 7 hours, 7 or 8 hours to finish it. It wasn't very long, and it was surprisingly easy for me, which I feel like that's probably the biggest problem with it, is that it's pretty easy, especially boss fights, which there are 3 of them.
Oh, dang, that's not many.
But I saw that people aren't very happy with the game, but I didn't feel like it was bad. It's mostly like the length and some jankiness here and there. It could use a bit more polish. It's like halfway there. It doesn't do some action game, beat 'em up type game things right. Like making your inputs consistent or making it clear what's happening so you can avoid damage or stuff like that. But that's like a bigger topic to talk about.
Okay, Spooky, what would you like to talk about?
This week, I just as Aaron, I've been trying to play all the games that have been nominated, and I was also trying to hit a goal in Game Grand, trying to like help out and stuff. But that all led me to Nunu, the Song of Nunu, League of Legends, one of the latest League of Legends titles. And to be honest, I didn't expect much from it because I haven't actually played many of the others yet. But this one, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I came into it really anxiously. I think because I know that League of Legends has really like messed up stories. So I was like very anxious since the very, very beginning. And it turns out that it's a super, super wholehearted, like super cute adventure. And although I didn't like the gameplay as much, I did really enjoy like a lot the way the developers approached like, well, first of all, bringing life to the two characters, and second of all, how much like the AI from the, I always forget that word, the world, the
Terragonist.
There we go. He brings a lot of life to the game by just kind of like existing. He like smells flowers and he eats fruit he finds and stuff. So yeah, I played that game and I quite liked it. And that's my first League of Legends game like actually fully completed. So I'm hoping to see the others soonish.
You mean you haven't played and completed League of Legends?
I don't think I ever will complete it. Here, my wife is like finishing Challenger goals and stuff, and here I am still not understanding how to play a tank.
Okay, Jackman, what about you?
What have I done for the last week? I've been playing like everyone else, as many of the nominee games as I can. Thankfully, I've played a few beforehand. And I still need to play some more. Mainly, I gave Baldur's Gate a bit of a try.
Hey. Surprise, surprise.
And,
which one?
Yes.
All and, of them?
Sorry. Even the Dark Alliances?
Hey, those are the best ones. How dare you?
Sorry.
But, like I said, I still have a lot of them to try out, or at least have a look at. I'm looking forward to arguing about them with you all soon. On top of that, I've been playing a bit of this, a bit of that. After reading one of our articles on the Ninja Storm games, I actually went back to playing the first one, which I've had waiting around forever. And it is an experience.
A good one?
An experience.
Oh, no.
Naruto certainly is an experience.
I love Naruto.
The character or the anime?
Yes.
Why do you keep doing that to me?
Yes. Myself, I started playing Eternal Threads, a game where you are a time traveler trying to prevent people from dying in a house fire. by changing certain choices they made, such as did this character tell someone about a letter, or did they neglect to tell them about the letter?
Why does that ring a bell? Isn't there another game like that with a different name? Not the same game, but it was popular a while ago. 12 minutes?
No, no. Oh, yeah, there's something similar like that, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Well, throughout it, you get to view things that happened in the house as holograms. So you'll go into the living room and see what happened in the days leading up to the fire, like day two at 6:45 p.m. and a short scene will play out in front of you, and then you go into the next scene, which might chronologically have taken place in one of the bedrooms, so you go upstairs and view that, or you can stay in the living room, find out what happened next in the living room, whatever.
And did you manage to save everyone?
I've played 6.4 hours into the game, and I have the achievement Save All Six Housemates. However, it tells you briefly what happened to them after the fire. And I thought, well, this character's ending sounds a bit sad. I'm going to tinker with things, see if I can get a better ending. And now I don't remember which option I changed, but three of them are going to die. So I've been tinkering with different options and changing things,
oh no.
Sometimes death is mercy.
I want them all to live.
Is it better to be sad or dead? That is the question.
Yes.
Well, the game's really well done. The writing's pretty good. The voice acting I thought was a bit stiff at the start, but it's definitely grown on me. It takes place in Manchester, England, and they've used British voice actors for all the characters.
I remember when I was reviewing it, I really liked the premise of the game. it's very unique, and I really like just being able to snoop as to what's happening. So I totally get where you're coming from, that feeling of wanting to save everyone. I was just so chuffed with myself when I saved the first person. I was like, yes, I've done it. I'm the hero that everyone needs. And then I never turned it on again.
I had five housemates all saved, and it was really annoying me. Which one choice can I change to save this other one? And it was something that I would not have expected. It was make this other character have an affair. It's like, wait, how does that? And then you watch the events unfold, and oh, that's how that winds up in this person surviving.
Yeah, basically, it's really fun to just tinker around and see what happens. It shouldn't be as fun as it is.
Lives.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that fun, but it is.
You heard it here first, folks. It's morally the best option to sleep with someone who's not your partner.
If they're going to die if you don't do it, of course.
Of course, of course.
Well, no, someone else was going to die if they didn't. Anyway, as I mentioned, this is the final normal episode of the Greencast, so thanks to Spooky for suggesting we talk about a recap of 2023 and how we felt things have gone. Now, rather than get people to say, to point out specific things, I figured I'd take to Wikipedia, the 2023 in video games page, the major events, because, well, not every year, but most years list the major events, such as right at the start of the year, NetEase Games acquired Skybox Labs. followed shortly by Google's cloud streaming service Stadia was closed.
No.
Oh my god. I have no memories of Stadia actually playing it. It was such a service.
So many games announced for it that had to change their announcements. I was a bit surprised when they refunded people, to be quite honest. I thought, oh, well, you get what you pay for. You expect this Google thing to be around forever, and it's not. But, yeah, they gave people their money back.
I'm actually surprised. I'm very glad they did. How did Google feel about Google Stadia, by the way?
It seems nobody had one strong thought about it either way.
I think that basically summarizes it.
It Google Stadia was.
Was okay and boring.
I once wanted to play a game on Stadia because it was being offered for free, but then I missed the window to play it on Stadia, and also I couldn't play Stadia for some reason. I think I couldn't run or didn't have Stadia. Like, I couldn't run Stadia on my old computer, and then by the time I got a computer that could run it, I didn't have the option to get the game anymore, and I just didn't feel like doing anything with Stadia.
I'd feel bad for Ubisoft for going in so heavily in with Stadia, offering all their games on it, if not for the fact that they are a giant multinational corporation.
Well said.
Next up on the major events in February, the Super Nintendo World opened to the public in Universal Studios Hollywood in California.
Oh!
How many of us have been?
I've been to California this year. When I went to that thing in March for Jedi Survivor, and we got like that free trip to Disneyland there, a lot of the other people who were going also took a trip to Universal Studios in order to experience Super Nintendo World. And a lot of people really seemed to like it. I don't remember any specific anecdotes of what people liked about it, but I heard a lot of people say that it was really cool.
Well, I actually didn't know it was outside of Japan at all. I guess my wife's only reason to force me to go to Japan just went down the drain.
How dare you tell her that? No, I'm just kidding. I had no idea. I'm so happy about that.
You have no idea how much she's begged me to get over the fear of dying to an earthquake over there. I'm just pretty sure that as soon as I step foot in Japan, I'm going to die.
Oh no, that sucks. Well, clearly another great reason to come to the United States, where you probably won't die immediately.
Doesn't California also have earthquakes?
Well, I guess
no,
I'm staying
no there. Answer. No response.
Next up on the calendar was March 20th until the 24th. The Game Developers Conference returned to an all-physical format at Moscone Center in San Francisco.
Moscow?
No idea. Then Atari announced its intent to acquire Night Dive Studios for $10
million. Moscone.
Oh, thank you. Did that acquisition go through?
Who were Night Dive Studios?
Night Dive Studios did the System Shock remake.
Oh, they are, right!
They are indeed currently owned by Atari.
That's probably where they got the money to finish that. Or, you know, they were bought and then told, you will finish this.
Or else.
Fingers.
Followed by Nintendo closing the Nintendo eShop for 3DS and Wii U.
I'm so sad.
That was weird. They held this big sale right before, naturally, because they wanted to get as much out of it as they can. But for some reason, the weirdest titles were on sale. For example, on the Shin Megami Tensei Persona side, I think they had Persona Q, the second one, on sale, but not the first one.
I guess they really wanted to go into highlighting Persona 5 very much. Weird that they didn't do both of them.
Yeah, and equally weird is that they just didn't put everything on their own sale, since now it's basically physical only, or you're out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, I can get like some of like third-party stuff not going on, because I'd probably have to like ask the people if they could do it. But like, most things should have been on sale then, I think.
Think of all the games that you can no longer purchase legally.
Like Fire Emblem Fates Revelations.
Wait, I'm sorry. What was the final word of your sentence, Ace?
I don't remember. Anyway. The next thing was Entertainment Software Association announced that E3 2023 was cancelled due to lack of major publisher attendance. Now, that's cited. I don't remember them saying it was specifically that. I thought that was just a theory.
I was quite shocked and very sad at E3. Apparently, because like, it's cancelled forever, right?
I mean, according to the Wikipedia page, it still says E3 is a trade event and not was a trade event. So I assume that means that they plan on trying to do it again in the future.
Yeah, because like I really wanted to go someday.
Okay, so the cited article is Eurogamer, which says that word of the cancellation comes via an email sent out by the ESA, E3's owners, as reported by IGN. So why is IGN not the cited source for this?
Well, because no one wants to cite IGN for source. I also through hoops to do that.
But they want to cite Eurogamer, which is European IGN.
I'm more likely to write a news piece about something and then quote IGN and tell people, hey, look, check this out, rather than just link people to IGN.
Oh, dear. This thing goes on to say the biggest game of the year, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, launches in May. Not The Legend of Zelda, just Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay, I'm starting to think we can't trust Wikipedia anymore.
I'm just starting to think we can't trust Eurogamer. Anyway, then we move on to April. Legendary Entertainment secured TV and film rights of Capcom's Street Fighter franchise.
Woo!
I think I missed this.
I did too. I had not known this was a thing.
Yeah, it was April the 3rd. So expect some more Street Fighter stuff coming.
I really love the Street Fighter like storyline. Like I've loved like the comics for it very much, and I love the characters. So I'm excited to see what another film or TV show might look like for them.
Oh no, not another anime!
Is M. Bison gonna come back with his isekai track?
Is he gonna have the correct name? And do I mean the correct over here or the correct over in Japan?
Mike Bison.
The day M. Bison graced you with his proper name may have been the best day of your life, but for him it will have been Tuesday.
Oh, that's weird, a deep thing. Cut.
Uh-huh. Weird thing was, it was Wednesday.
Yep, every Wednesday is like a Tuesday. The next thing on here is that Savvy Games Group announces its intent to acquire Scopely for $4.9 billion. Who is Scopely and who is Savvy Games Group?
I love it. Scopely has a link to a Wikipedia page, but Savvy Games Group, which should be bigger because it's trying to buy it, does not have a Wikipedia page.
Oh, Scopely are behind Star Trek Fleet Command. You've played a mobile game, you know about Street Fighter. Star Trek Fleet Command. And Marvel Strike Force, as well as some stuff that aren't linked.
So did it fail? Because parent organization for Scopely appears to be Public Investment Fund.
No, Parent Savvy Games Group.
Weird. Mine is not showing that. Betrayal.
Then on the 19th of April, Epic Games acquired Brazil-based studio Aquarius, which is not linked. Horizon Chase Studio Aquarius.
I thought you were going to end at Brazil.
Epic Games acquired Brazil.
I mean, it checks out with all the money they have. They acquired Brazil and rename it to Epic Games or Fortnite Island.
Epic Games spent too much on giving away GTA 5 for free.
I think it would be more in character for Embracer to acquire Brazil and then lay off everyone in Brazil.
What do you mean by lay off everyone in Brazil?
Oh, because that's what Embracer did. They acquired a bunch of companies and then started laying off people.
No. Spoilers! Next month. No, in fact, in 2 months. We still got to finish off April on this list. Focus Entertainment acquired publisher studio Dovetail Games. They do, 6 different train games and a flight simulator. And then Sony Interactive Entertainment acquired Firewalk Studios under its PlayStation Studios label. Both those happened on the same day.
Oh.
Then nothing happened in May, so we skip ahead to June.
Who cares about May?
The 5th of June, Apple announced the Apple Vision Pro, a mixed reality headset set to release in early 2024. Has anyone heard anything about that since that announcement?
No, not really. Aside from all the memes, it just died down, and that's the last time I heard of it. I'd even forgotten it happened.
I don't think I'd heard about it at the time either, admittedly.
3,500 VR headset.
Can I just use my Virtual Boy?
Yes. We need Virtual Boy to come back. Nintendo, make a Virtual Boy too.
That's what I use for VR games.
I just use the cardboard VR thing that they gave me.
The Labo. Labo?
Yes.
Labia?
I don't actually have one.
You just use a cardboard box.
Exactly.
I just like take my hands and do fake sunglasses on my face.
It's really immersive, yeah. It's really immersive. I'm doing it right now, actually, for this podcast. Wow, I can see all of you like this.
Oh, no. Don't look at me.
No, don't look! Where's my pants?
On the 8th of June, the 2023 Summer Game Fest was held through a combination of various in-person and streamed video events from over 40 publishing partners.
Oh, no, not E3 week. I mean, sorry, not E3 week.
Followed a week later by Embracer Group. There you go, girls. Embracer Group began an undergoing a large-scale restructuring program. Can someone edit this page, please? Due to a failure of a planned $2 billion deal, which would affect some of its studios and ongoing projects. So yeah, that's foreshadowing in a Wikipedia article.
I'll quickly edit that to fix it, I guess. I have a Wikipedia account.
Embracer Group began and undergoing a large scale.
I think I'll probably just remove the am.
Anyway, then on the 25th of June, the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra performed a 10-year anniversary concert for the Game Awards, the end-of-the-year awards ceremony that has been running since 2014 at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
They didn't mention the kid was not through.
Then in July, the only thing that happened in July was Tencent announced its intent to acquire majority shares in Techland.
Techland? Wow, I did not know about that.
Of Dying Light fame.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't mean. I meant I didn't know that Tencent was going to try to acquire them.
I was saying for our listeners' benefit.
And my wife, who tends to confuse Ubisoft and EA.
So they're not the only ones that confuse, mind you.
August, well, and September were packed with QuakeCon returning as a live in-person event in Grapevine, Texas, following 3 years of digital formats due to the COVID-19 pandemic, which definitely finished 3 years ago. Then the 2023 Pokemon World Championships took place at the Pacifico Yokohama Convention Center in Yokohama, Japan. Wow. So, then Sega Sammy Group completed the acquisition of Rovio Entertainment for $775 million.
That makes me mad.
That makes me angry birds. Then Nintendo announced that Charles Martinet will be stepping back from recording voices for Mario and other characters.
I feel like those are like the worst news that anyone's ever heard. All jokes aside, though, I thought he hadn't stepped down. I thought he had been offered a different position as a Mario ambassador, whatever that means.
That means he won't be recording the voice anymore.
He is a brand ambassador, yeah. It's too bad he'll never be Waluigi again.
No. Oh, yeah. And other characters are
But I guess, like, if he wanted to stop doing it, that's probably a good thing.
Then the Gamescom convention took place at the Cologne Messe in Cologne, Germany. And then the final thing that happened in August was, as part of its restructuring, Embracer Group shuttered Volition. Those bastards.
Mm.
And everyone said it was because of the Saints Row game.
Yeah. Even though we foreshadowed it earlier in this summary.
No, it was because of the Saints Row game.
It was all because of Saints Row the Third. No,
it was a later one.
Cat House of Hell.
No, I love that one!
Then we moved to September, where Nintendo of America hosted Nintendo Live, an in-person event that was introduced in Japan back in 2017 in Seattle. That's...
Wow, I love Seattle.
Oddly.
Yeah, they probably could have just had the in Seattle at the beginning.
And then the Entertainment Software Association announced that there would be no E3 in 2024.
Hmm.
Yay!
Then the one that everyone was a big fan of, Unity Technologies, announced a new retroactive licensing fee for the Unity game engine start in 2024. That needs editing too, while you're in there. Generating backlash within the indie game community, the criticism led Unity to rework the fee structure to less aggressive terms a week later.
Oh, and then CEO stepped down, right? Later.
That might be further down my list, but it's not included there.
I think it was a guy who, like, worked for EA... or something, and he was like super into monetization and stuff. I don't know.
Well, you gotta get those nickels and dimes.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be mentioning that later on for like the major events of the year. The Unity does come up again in November.
Oh. The next thing in September, however, was the Tokyo Game Show convention took place at the Makuhari Messe in Chiba, Japan.
Yay, Tokyo!
Yay!
And I received emails saying, hey, are you attending the Tokyo Game Show? It's like, it's $2,000 for a flight. No, we're not.
No one sleep in Tokyo. Oh,
That's going to get his Content ID banned or something.
Yeah, it will.
Jim Ryan, the CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment, announced his intent to leave Sony by April 2024. And then the last thing for September was Epic Games laid off about 16% of its workforce, approximately 850 employees, including divestment of Bandcamp and Super Awesome.
16%.
You can give a game for free weekly to everyone, but you can't keep your staff. Wow. Disgusting.
They can keep their staff, just not 16% of them.
Goodness gracious.
Look, Wikipedia says that they, in 2020, they had only 2,200 plus employees. Moving on to October, Nintendo announced that the online services for Nintendo 3DS and Wii U software will discontinue in early April 2024. Hang on. Did I say that they closed down?
No, the store. There's a
difference. Yeah, so the store closed, and now the online is closing, so you won't be able to play anything online, even if you own it.
Yeah.
My mistake.
Or download anything you've purchased.
Not even Resident Evil The Mercenaries.
Not even anything you bought in that sale.
Or Super Street Fighter 4 3D Edition.
No.
Until the third-party servers start popping up.
We don't talk about that. Ace, take it back. Nintendo's going to sue them.
What third-party servers? What are you on about? Shut up.
What about fourth-party servers?
What about first-person servers?
What about fourth-person games?
What about... Yeah.
The acquisition of Activision Blizzard by Microsoft is completed on the 13th of October, following approval from the UK's Competition and Markets Authority. Kevin Afghani is announced as the new voice of Mario and Luigi.
And Wario as well. Don't know why it doesn't mention that. Also, why are they together?
Why is they in the same box?
Like, earlier for April 20th, it was 20, it was the big box, and they got split into two smaller boxes for the actual event. It's all just in one here.
Yeah, so Microsoft is the reason that Kevin Afghani was announced as the voice of Mario and Luigi.
Oh my god, it's all connected.
I mean, Microsoft did try to buy Nintendo, don't you know? Jesus Christ.
On the 30th of October, Bungie laid off about 100 employees as part of cost-cutting measures due to lower player counts of Destiny 2. Maybe that butchery game. The 31st of October saw Atari announce its intent to acquire Digital Eclipse for $20 million. Digital Eclipse,
they have succeeded.
The way that was worded is super creepy. The intent to acquire.
That, and looking at one of our articles, you can see that Atari, in this case, is in massive quotation marks.
Yes. I intend to acquire Game Grin.
Yeah, do you see how weird it sounds?
I intend to acquire your apples, sir.
Intentions intensify.
Moving on to November, Blizzard Entertainment hosted BlizzCon, an in-person event, at the Anaheim Convention Center in California.
Didn't that one have like a super duper long line that was horribly managed?
That is not covered in this summary note. Yeah, it's Blizzard. I would have not paid attention if I'd been told that directly, so.
That's just one of those things that you hear and your brain just goes, yep, makes sense, and ignores.
Then Ubisoft laid off 124 employees worldwide, most of its Canadian studios.
Wow, here to hear first, folks. Ubisoft hates Canada.
Don't they have like 17 Canadian studios?
You heard it here, folks. Ubisoft loves Canada?
You heard it here, folks. Ubisoft has a love-hate relationship with Canada.
And then Blizzard announced its intention to transition the Overwatch League into a more traditional esports structure.
Wait, Nintendo announced that?
Did I say that?
I think so, but I'm not sure if I heard wrong.
No, you said Blizzy.
BlizzTendo announces its intent to acquire
BlizzTendo Soft. On the 15th of November, series of layoffs were announced. Not a series, just a series of layoffs were announced at Amazon Games, Digital Bros, Humble Games, and Kongregate.
Wow, they can't even list each of them individually and say how much it was. It's just layoffs at this point. So many layoffs.
Wait. Hang on. What was the last one? Kongregate.
Yeah, I don't think I'd heard that.
When I was much younger, Kongregate was a site for Flash games.
Oh, yeah.
They've branched out. Hmm.
No, they've released actual games now. Burrito Bison, you can get that on Steam.
Wow.
Burrito Bison. Okay, I need to check this out.
Yeah, you can also get it on mobile. It's fun. Anyway, Unity Technologies announced another set of layoffs consisting of 3.8% or 265 employees as part of a company quote-unquote reset following its licensing changes in September 2023.
Gotta love company resets.
I think we need to have a company reset at Game Grain.
No! I'll talk to you about that later. The final thing is December the 7th. So It hasn't happened yet at time.
Wait a minute.
The December 5th, we release the last normal episode of Grincast.
The Game Awards 2023, honoring the best video games of the year, is scheduled to take place at the Peacock Theater in Los Angeles. And later this month, the Game Green Game of the Year is coming to your podcast feed.
This is 100% not a plug.
Plug, not plug, not plug, not plug, not plug.
Right, that's a year of news summed up.
Except for May. What happened in May?
The world stopped.
So, how would you describe this year in one word, Ace?
Well, okay.
5 out of 10.
That's not one word.
Then how would you describe it in one word, Arturo?
Ace.
How would you describe it in one word, Aaron?
May.
How would you describe it in one word, Jackman?
Yes. This is why you don't invite me onto these, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly been a year full of layoffs. God,
especially. Yeah, it's really sad to see the kind of like the consequences. So a lot of the consequences of the pandemic have stopped, the physical ones mostly. But now you're starting to see how that same pandemic is affecting the industry internally, which is really sad to see considering we're just recovering from it.
The thing is, these layoffs are happening as people are being forced back into offices. So maybe don't force people back into offices and you can afford to employ them.
Yeah.
And that's a great point, honestly.
Yeah. And a lot of this is because of COVID and people being stuck indoors, there was a bit of a boom on playing video games because no one could go outside and they could join us in the dark. And now that's stopped. And the sudden growth is stopped. That means everyone must go because our numbers need to stay up.
Yeah, this capitalism quest for new customers is really confusing to me. Like, you can get new customers up to a point, but past that point, that either everyone has your product already, or they don't intend to get your product ever. So then, what do you do? You can't get You can't keep getting new customers.
You don't know that, Ace. Everyone has babies every day.
Everyone turns 18 every day. It's usually used for a different statistic, but still.
Wait, everyone turns 18 every day.
I know. I was like, what?
Sorry, I mean someone.
I think I need a drink.
Hey, y'all, I hope you're prepared for my 18-year birthday bash.
Every day. Which is second day now. So thank you for listening to this podcast, and happy birthday to everyone.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Artura.
It's your 18th birthday. Oh, thank you, you too.
Okay, quick quiz. Who can drink legally?
We're all 18. I can't.
We just turned 18. Did you hear it?
Erin
can, because you're in the UK now.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. Yes, I can drink legally as of today.
Yay.
I'm not sure how the rules work in Colombia. I got my first drink at 13, so yes?
Jeez. I'm used to the US where you have to be 21. But I guess, now that I'm here, I can just, you know, throw caution to the wind for my 18th birthday.
And there you have it, folks. Today's your birthday. You can drink.
Erin, you should always throw caution to the wind on your 18th birthday.
So every day?
Every day, yeah. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of this podcast.
What a year.
Thank you for joining me, Artura. Erin goes. Spooky Jackman
and myself. Thanks for having us on our birthday.
Thank you for sharing your birthday with us, Ace.
You know what? I'm buying cake.
Oh, what kind of cake?
Birthday cake?
I'll tell you that next time on the Game Green Cast.
And the weird episode.
We're going to talk about a book.
Thank you for listening to and subscribing to the Grincast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge. And of course, check out our writings on GameGrin.com. Until next time, game on.